I already mentioned that the three realities, the three mysteries of God's plan of salvation that we're called upon to reflect on tonight are first the Eucharist, and then the priesthood, and then love for one another. But at the root of all of those is the act of love in which our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, and in which he is fixed forever. So when we celebrate this Eucharist, Christ is here, but the Lord Christ who is here is the one who is surrounded by saints and angels who love him, adore him, praise him. That's the one who's with us. And so, as you notice, we have three narratives, three stories about this one reality, which is at the heart of it. That is, this act of love in which Jesus died. The first story, we have the prescriptions for the Paschal Lamb. For over 1,000 years, on the 14th day of Nisan, the Jews celebrated this Passover. And they did that in honor and in memory of what God had done for them, getting them out of slavery into freedom. Now, as they perceived this freedom, it was a freedom to do the will of God. That's what the freedom is. It's not freedom just to be without burden. It's the freedom to love and to worship God and to be with him. And so every year, for 1,000 years, the Jews celebrated this act. And they were devoted. You know, they tell the story in the concentration camp. I think it was Dachau, but I'm not sure. There's another feast called Simchat Torah, the joy of the Lord. It comes at the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's the feast of the joy of the law, Simchat Torah. And an old rabbi who was there said, on this day, we are commanded to rejoice. And therefore, we will rejoice. So all the Jews in that concentration camp stood up, raised their hands, praised God, and rejoiced in the concentration camp. Because we should do the will of God. And that's what they were doing. So we have these prescriptions, you see, which speak to us now that the fulfillment of all of that has happened. Being freed from slavery is a great thing. But the deepest slavery in our life is sin and a lack of love. And that's what we are freed from. That's the Paschal Lamb. And that's what we're freed from, my friends. And so you see, this first reading is meant to prepare us. Even as we go on with the liturgy, you know, late on a Thursday afternoon, might be a little tired, but we're not in a concentration camp. Ought to be plenty of energy to praise him, to sing to his honor, and rejoice in him. That's the first story. The second story is about Jesus at the last Passover supper, before he consummated it and gave us this new Passover supper that we celebrate every day. And he took the bread, the matzo, and he broke it. He blessed it. He broke it. And he said, take this. This is my body. Now notice what he said. Take it. Can you imagine the depth of love and conviction and strength by which he said, take it? And he's expecting us to receive it, to take it. This is the body and blood of the Lord. It is the power by which we are freed, and we take it so that we can learn to love. Because our freedom can't be individualistic. What good would it do for any one of us to be free and have all our brothers and sisters still in slavery? What good would that do? Take it. Today, when I offer you, or whoever does, the body of Christ, take it. Say, I receive this. I receive you, my Lord. Though I can't see you, I know that the body I receive is glorious and full of light, full of divinity, and it's still marked with the scars that you had when you were among us. I take it. I receive it. This is how you freed us. You freed the whole world. Take it. Now, when he did that, he said to them, do this in memory of me. Remember me when you do this. This is a very biblical word. To remember means to have what God has done for us so present to us that we're different. We're different. We love more deeply. We sacrifice ourselves because, you see, at the depth of all of these three narratives is that act of love in which Jesus died on the cross. So to take it means, I want to die with you. I want to die to sin. I want to live to the Father. I want to do that. I'm scared to death what that might mean. Scared or not, Lord, I tell you, I take it. Now, when he said to those disciples, do this in memory of me, he changed them in their very being. He ordained them. He gave them the power to do this, not in some vague memory like we might remember George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. No, this is a biblical remembering. What Jesus Christ has done for us is here because he is here. And he is present. And he's present in that act by which he poured out his life willingly in great pain. He told a friend of mine in a vision, I was filled with revulsion in the garden, knowing what was going to happen to me. But there's nothing he wanted to do more. So he ordained them, do this in memory of me, not an empty memory, not to hang the flag or read a Bible, a book, or no. I am there. The memory is that I am there, fixed forever in the act of love in which I died so that I can feed you on my body and blood which have been divinized by the overshadowing and transforming power of the Holy Spirit. What happens to a priest, and this is the second of the themes that the church recommends as we think about, is that we're changed. We have nothing to do with that except to show up and to agree to it. There's an interesting passage I want to read from you. It's from John Paul II's letter, I Will Give You Shepherds. By the way, this, after having been obfuscated during the confusion of Vatican II, it's clear again. In fact, a young priest just wrote a whole book on this. Anyhow, this is the passage. The Spirit, by consecrating the priest and configuring him to Jesus Christ, head and shepherd, creates a bond which, located at the priest's very being, demands to be assimilated and lived out in a personal, free, and conscious way through an ever richer communion of life and love, and an ever broader and more radical sharing in the feelings and attitudes of Jesus Christ. That's the challenge. In this bond between the Lord Jesus and the priest, an ontological and psychological bond, a sacramental and moral bond, is the foundation and likewise the power for that life according to the Spirit, that radicalism of the gospel to which every priest is called today and which is fostered by ongoing formation in its spiritual aspect. The mystery of this, no one will ever plumb to its depths. Now, that commission, do this in memory of me, is transmitted by the hands being laid on by the bishop and a prayer, enabling the one who receives it to do this in memory of him. Make the glory of Christ present by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. And you will notice when we get, and which is Paul's letter here as well, the narrative now is on the night before he suffered. He took bread, and looking up to heaven, he gave you thanks and praise. He broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given up for you." And at the end of the supper, he took the cup and said, "This is the chalice, the cup of my blood. Take this, drink it, in memory of me." And Paul adds, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim to the whole universe, to the saints and the angels and the demons," so they don't like to hear it, "proclaim to the whole world," you see, "the death of the Lord until he comes." He comes in this Eucharist, but one day he will come. If today is the day, as I'm consecrating, a whole roof will open up, be filled with light, and the Lord Christ will come into our midst and greet us all. But if that's not for today, it's for someday. And in the meanwhile, he comes. So that is a touch of this mystery that happened to me almost 52 years ago. And I promise you, I have hardly begun to understand it. I remember once Sister Breed, I never heard her say this before, but at a conference on priestly formation, actually, she said, "At one time in my life, the Lord gave me a 5-hour vision of the mystery of the priesthood. And it changed my life." And that's why she has dedicated her life to preaching to priests and helping them. Because ordination does not make anybody a saint. That's the next step. But that only comes in fidelity to the first step, through suffering and through love. And that's why the last thing that the church wants us to think about is love. Think of what Jesus did, huh? Though he was in the form of God, he didn't think being equal to God was a thing to be clung to. So he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave and being obedient unto God, being obedient unto death. And so what did our Lord do? He took off his outer garments. He wrapped himself in the garments of a slave, and he washed the feet of his disciples. And then he says, "What I just did, you are to do. And not just you, my brand new priests, but everybody. Wash one another's feet. Well, we're going to have a ceremony in a minute, and it'll be a ceremony, it won't be very difficult. But if we do this every day, we will die to self. And that's hard. That's hard. But it's worth it. It's worth it for the joy we give to the Lord, and it's worth it for the joy He gives to us. So we never stop trying to love, ever. No matter what it costs, that's the call. And that's the Eucharist. The proper effect of this Eucharist, which we will receive tonight, is to bind us together in one body. That's the proper effect. You say, I don't want that effect, you don't receive the Eucharist. It's that simple. Not up to you what's going to happen, it's up to Christ. I think I've told you many times before how St. Augustine, in one of his homilies, said, I'm going to hold out this bread to you, and I'm going to say, the body of Christ. Now, before you say amen, look around. This is the body of Christ. And if you can't say yes to this body of Christ, you won't say it to the sacramental body of Jesus Christ himself. That's the commitment we make at every Eucharistic sacrifice. It's a wonderful gift, my friends. And you know, if we will let the Lord do it in us, and it will cost, He will dwell among us in such a way that we will be a hope, a consolation, and an invitation to love to anybody who comes in touch with us. Because, as Paul said, I live, now not I, Christ lives in me. So now we're going to enact the foot washing.